Listen, it'll be like every other Horror and Heels podcast, just mayhem.
We don't chaos.
Skype is telling me to let you know you're being recorded. Skype, my friend, we have done this for almost
minty times.
Wish she knows. Bitch aware. everyone, welcome back to Horror and Heels. I'm Alicia.
Oh, this is Jen. We haven't done an intro like that in a while.
I know. That was Jen. Basically, this is our fourth time introing today, so.
Yeah, it's been great. Tech difficulties.
You know, things happen. Hope you're all doing well. We are T-minus a month almost until Texas Frightmare weekend. How you feeling?
I'm so excited. Like, everybody's going to be there, and I can't wait. This is a good
time. Both of our shirts came in. We'll be heat pressing this week.
Ooh, and we'll have stickers to give away. I'm excited about that.
Yes. Pay attention to our socials that whole weekend, because first of all, Alicia will probably get very emotional at being able to meet Jen in person for the first time. So I'm going to be like, probably recording that when it happens. Just a little live action for you guys, seeing the girls finally come together.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah. It'll be pretty special, guys. So look out for that. And that weekend, my watch is going to be real excited. Lots of steps. So
all the heart rates, all the steps.
All the heart rates, all the steps. All, if it was measuring alcohol content.
Let's be glad it doesn't do that.
So how was your weekend?
Good. I was actually kind of weekend. I had a cold. It sucked. So I didn't get to play football like I usually do. I stayed home all day Saturday. And then I went to church yesterday. Other than that, not much else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very excited. A friend of mine came over Saturday night. I was able to get rid of 5 boxes of baby stuff because she's having a boy.
Yeah, sweet.
Love getting rid of stuff. We're going to get rid of stuff.
Less stuff to move.
Yeah, that is my goal.
That's
just keep walking around the house going, are we attached to this?
Nope. Throw it out.
I pointed to my child 3 times and asked. My husband's like, yes, no, that's...
we're keeping that?
Like, oh. But I feel like we could get such good money for him. He's so cute.
And it would get rid of a lot of the other stuff you have to move, too.
Right, exactly. Take him and all his accoutrement, please. I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of the ball pit without him knowing. But, like, once it's broken down, it's not so bad, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. So today we watched Lights Out.
Yes.
Your second or third viewing, my first.
Oh, this is like my fourth, I think, maybe.
Okay.
You're glitching again.
Oh God, so are you.
You're frozen on my end. Dang it. Okay, well, fine.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Write down some timestamps. That became incredibly helpful this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You're the best.
Okay. All right. Okay. So yeah, this is like my third or fourth time seeing it. I like it personally.
I think it's very well done. At first I was super excited because Billy Burke was in it, and then all of a sudden
he was not
in it. So there was that.
It was a strong opening. I liked that opening.
I was like, I thought that the assistant was so nice and fun. She lives, but we never see her again. And I was real sad about that. She seemed very nice. I have to say, I do like how tight, I like a tight cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we dispensed of Billy Burke and that young lady right quick. Yeah. And Billy Burke gets got by this creature who cannot go into any light. He figured that out.
Oh, yeah, pretty fast.
I was pretty impressed by him. And we fast forward, I'm not exactly sure how many months or weeks in the timeline past his passing. We fast forward, we see his son again, and the son is not sleeping. It is late hours. And he goes to find the mom, and we hear before the father, who I believe his name was Will.
It was
him. His I don't remember. I remember the rest, but him, no.
Paul.
Sorry, Paul. I mean, you were with us for a brief moment. We do hear from Paul. We're not exactly sure who he was talking to before he died. That he, that the wife Maria Bello, played by Sophie, or Sophie played by Maria Bello,
yeah,
is having troubles yet again. And of the mental health variety, he says, if only we can get her to stop locking herself in the closet. And we will find out later what that's about. So we see that whatever has taken hold of Sophie's mind is affecting Martin pretty poorly. He cannot sleep. He's very worried.
Yeah. He's
beginning to think he sees things. At school the next day, the nurse tries to call Sophie. Sophie does not answer. Prior to that, we also meet a couple, Rebecca and Brett, whom I adored both of them.
Yeah.
But it was so cute that, like, Brett's trying, and here's the thing. This is what I like. You think, like, by his look that he's not going to be a good guy, but he is showing that he wants to be more involved in her life.
Which I'll say.
He's just trying to keep a sock.
I'll say, like, they do that a lot now where it's, like, reversed. I think it's, personally, I'm, like, it's kind of overused where it's the girl doesn't want the relationship and the guy is trying to
This was more. One of the few movies I had seen it in, so I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, he tried to sneak that sock. He did try to sneak that sock, and she was like, no.
No. Can't have it. She wasn't having it. I thought that was very cute. I thought it was cute that she tells him she likes him.
Yeah.
And he leaves away in a Volvo. And I know this is wrong, but this is also what I think the movie wanted you to think initially, was that this was a ne'er-do-well man that was not here for anything good with our protagonist, and that's why she perhaps didn't want anything to do with him. He's driving a very new Volvo, so we don't find out what his employment is, but he is clearly employed in some manner. He has a very nice leather coat. So while he enjoys the scraggly aesthetic, I'm thinking musician who does fairly well. Or something in a more artsy field in which
definitely is
very accepted.
I got the heavy musician vibe from him for sure.
But heavy musician who's actually
working
well. And I think they're adorable. So the next day, Brett and Rebecca go to get Martin at school. And Martin's looking real old for however old he
is. He's looking worn down, wore out.
Haggard. And Rebecca goes, okay, I will take him home, says to the social worker, whose name is Emma, I will take him home. Don't worry, I will get this sorted out. Thank you so much for your time. The social worker kind of inquisits about the mom. I'm sure maybe Rebecca doesn't remember, but these things probably similarly happened when she was young, because Rebecca does tell Martin that these things happened when she was a child. How did you feel about all of that? Like that whole, like her coming to get him. I thought it was great he knew he could call his sister.
Yeah, I liked their relationship. It
was weird that Brent didn't know she had a brother. So.
Well, no, not with the way she was treating him. She couldn't even keep a sock there. I'm not surprised that he knew nothing about her personal life.
But, like, I feel like siblings, like...
But they're half-siblings, and it's kind of like... And not that lessens it anymore, but it's kind of... She's not, like, active in his life to the point where... She sees him daily or anything like that. That's not the vibe I got. It was kind of like...
That is true. That is not the vibe I got. Howevers.
I did like their relationship and how sweet she was to him and that she actually genuinely cared about him.
Yeah.
As her brother.
She could tell right away that Sophie was acting a fool again.
Mm-hmm.
That things were not going well. And she steps in, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
They go back to the house and Sophie is whew,
also looking haggard.
Well, yeah. And Martin goes upstairs and just starts packing his shit. He is done.
He's like, I need to get some sleep, damn it.
This poor kid. And Rebecca does the right thing. She questions her mother. But Rebecca, I'm sorry. I'm a sister, and I'm a sister of a significant age gap as well. I am a picking up from school age gap as well. If I knew this is how my mother acted when something happened to my father, I am for sure stepping into that home and making sure that this doesn't happen to my sibling.
Yeah.
I'm a very not under my watch. So while once it got to, you know, danger zone 10, she stepped in. I'm there at danger zone 0.
Yeah.
Dad died. Okay. I'm stepping in I'm going to say, hey, mom, I'm just going to come home, hang out with you and Martin for a while.
Yeah.
Make up a lie. Say, mom, do you mind? I'll help you out around the house. I'll help you out with Martin. My rent's gotten a little too expensive. I'd really like to give up my lease. They're clearly in, it looks like, California. Everybody will believe that story. Rent's out of control. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You hold on. You cut out for me there. I don't know if Skype will cut. Like, I don't know if Skype could still hear you clearly. So do you want to do that again?
Where did I cut out?
Where you said your rent's getting...
Oh, like tell a lie. Say, hey, mom, my rent's getting a little high. Can I move back in for a while? Just till I catch back up. I really want to give up this lease or sublet, whatever. Tell a lie. Rent in LA is crazy expensive. We can tell that tale. Because that definitely looks like LA, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that was LA, yeah.
Okay. Wasn't entirely sure. Not a ton of exposition in this movie.
They always have the same type of houses in these movies, too, that like... It was the same kind of house that they have in, like, The Conjuring. What?
Gorgeous. Is gorgeous the word you're looking for? God damn, was I jealous of that front porch.
Yeah. Not The Conjuring. I meant Insidious, like, those, that movie. Those, same. Correct.
And I'm in love with them in every
movie. I do like those houses, that style. But it's just a very horror movie style house that they always use. It's a great house. And... Yeah, like you said, at this point, like, she should have stepped in earlier, but I'm just glad that she stepped in at all.
Correct.
Usually she could have just said he's on his own, especially being mad that started a new family. You know, she could have easily gone that route.
Wait, who did you think started the new family?
The mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't...
I just mean that's a route that they could have usually... They usually would have written.
Oh, okay, because I get... That was not the vibe I
no,
got.
No, I'm saying that's where they could have gone. That
oh, yeah.
A lot in movies where they're like, oh, you went and started a new family, and, like, she'd be kind of jealous. They could have easily done that, but I like what they did where she actually cared about her brother and his well-being. And then this is when, and she takes Martin, right? Like, this is the part where she's like, all right, he's coming with me.
She literally turns around to go, Martin, pack your bags, and he's downstairs with bags. The kid is good to go.
Yeah.
They get into the car.
That was a weird sound. Wait, that was a weird sound.
Sorry. We'll cut it. I was moving the table to put out my...
Okay, so, he's, like, ready to go. He's packed. She takes him to her apartment, and that's when the social worker comes, right? Like a little while later.
They go to the apartment. She is super cute with him. She makes him a sandwich, asks him how
it wants it.
He says triangles. She's like, oh, you and I have something in common. She brushes his hair. I mean, she gives him a glass of milk. She is being a good big sister and a good caregiver.
Yeah.
That night, she wakes up looking for Martin because he's not where he was.
Okay. Yeah.
And she finds him sleeping in the, well, first.
After she encounters
encounters the creature. We don't have a name for this creature yet. It does semi look feminine in shape, very talon like fingernails. I really like that we can only see the creature in the dark. Do you like that?
Yeah, I like actually, it's, have you seen the short film that this was based on?
I have not.
I'm gonna put that on our YouTube on one of our lists because it's actually, it's a very, it's like a short, like 5 minute, even 5 minute movie that this is based on. But yeah, I love that. I love it. As soon as you turn on the lights, it's gone. Like, it's so creepy because it's like, you know, it's still there, even though the lights are on, but you just can't see where it is.
Right.
And the creature is very well done. Like the creepiness, the how tall it is. And the
when it was down on its hunches, ready to pounce, when it was coming after the Paul, I was like, nope. At first, because of the way it was down on its hunches in that, in the Billy scene, I'm like, is that like a really enlarged spider or something? I thought a lot of legs were about to come at me, and then I figured it out. But the darkness plays on you, and I like that because you're never really, until the very end of the movie, you're not fully sure what she looks like, and we'll get to that. She finds Martin asleep in the bathtub, but finally this kid has gotten some sleep. And now go to what you were saying about the social worker. This is when the social worker comes back the next morning.
Okay. Yeah. Which, and if I were her, I'd be like, I took my little brother to come spend the night. Like,
calm yourself. What is
this kidnapping business? Yeah. Like,
first of all,
he's my brother.
Yeah. First of all, the kid is over, well over five. He's over 10. He's 11 or 12. CPS would never get involved in a 12-year-old asking to spend the night with the brother, with the sister, especially of a mother who has a history of mental and psychotic abuse. If I was a CPS worker, I'd just be like, Martin, come out here.
Yeah, are you okay?
Martin, you asked to spend the night with your sister? Yeah, I really need some sleep. She's been acting a fool up at the house. Okay, would you like to continue to stay with your sister while we investigate this? Yes, please. If she could be made my temporary emergency. That's how this would go.
How does she even, has she even been to the house? Because I'm like, this mom should not be taking care of this boy. If you see the condition of the house, the condition of the mom, like, she doesn't seem well.
She's like, she called me. She seemed lucid. I am going to say once again, as a woman who has suffered from her own mental health issues and has been around people who have suffered from mental health issues, it is very easy to get your mind to do what it wants to do, what you want it to do, for very short amount.
When you need it to. Yeah.
When you need it to. It's the duration where things break down. But in the very short term, 3-minute call to the doctor, to this social worker, I can hold on. I can make it through this.
Yeah.
Also, and I'm not saying family members don't kidnap children.
Right.
But typically kidnappings don't happen where the person
goes back to their own apartment
and the kid's showering to go right back to school. That's not a kidnapping. That's a sleepover.
Yeah.
That CPS agent should have waited until the kid got to school and then been like, oh, he arrived at school. I don't think he was kidnapped.
Yeah, they usually don't take them back to school.
Don't drop the kid off at school the next day. Why? Because then they're not getting the kid back from the school, because the kid would be like, hey, I was kidnapped last night.
Yeah, generally.
Not, hey, I had a sleepover with my big sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not how that goes.
And what was the mom's problem? Like, and that's another thing where it's like, you're so self, like, you've got this creature thing that you're, you know, whatever attached to, and you're trying to keep your kid. Why? You've chosen the relationship with this thing. Why do you need your son there for this also? Like,
right. Well, we're going to get into that a little bit right now. So the mom picks the boy up at school. Oh, well, wait. While in the home before the mom is home, Brett and Rebecca go, and she's like, let's just see what we can find out, see if there's anything we can do to help my mom. They start looking around the house, and Rebecca finds Paul's box of information about the mom having been in a psychiatric facility. This we had known. We had seen the box briefly, but we're given no information. We learn that while she was there, she was befriended by a girl named Diana. She is, and this is a real condition. She apparently has severe light sensitivity. She can't be in the light. I actually remember this movie I watched once about this family that was traveling with their children in a van that was all darkened out, et cetera, to allow them to travel safely. And they were moving to a new home to be able to do that. And they get into town, and they had been seen a few times by the neighbors, the blackened van, et cetera. And the neighbors thought the kids were being abused.
Yeah.
The kids actually recoil from the sunlight. The neighbors see like their skin almost start to welt. The parents slam the door and they're like, no, we have doctor's notes. Like you can come to our house. Like we're happy to show you the kids are fine. The kids just can't be in the light and we're taking them to their doctor's appointments. And it actually becomes this beautiful story about this community doing a bulk of the things at nights. They would have local movie nights at night together as a group. Local, so they would do local soccer games and stuff by moonlight so these kids could feel like part of the community. It was a really pretty story. So that's what this girl, Diana, suffered from, and that's why. But she also definitely suffered mentally. Apparently, it was said that she could do things with her mind.
Yeah. She could get into people's minds.
Yes. And
make them think things, manipulate their thoughts.
And apparently that's what she did with her own father.
Yeah.
She becomes very attached to Sophie. And then
Sophie thinks they're best friends. She's not actually her friend, but Diana makes her think that they're friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Diana eventually, unfortunately, is killed when an experiment for her light sensitivity condition goes horribly awry. Rebecca finds pictures of the chair where it was conducted.
Oh, ashes, the charred.
Full of ashes. Oof. Full of ashes. It was not bueno.
at all.
I mean, I don't know. Did the doctors know what they were doing? Was it just an experiment gone horribly wrong?
Yeah, or maybe they just didn't realize how severe her sensitivity was.
They might have also thought her sensitivity was part psychosomatic.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those where the doctors were evil, because they usually do that too, where it was an evil experiment, or it just they were trying just to happened. Help her, and it just happened. So
and it is at that point that Diana permanently fixates herself onto Sophie.
Sophie
picks her son up, and Martin is like, let's not have Diana here tonight. Like, let's just have it be the two of us. When she mentions,
let's watch a movie together. Yeah.
And she mentions it being the three of them.
And Martin's like, no, I don't want any of that. I'll have none of it. Because she tries to like talk him into it. Like, it's okay. Diana's our friend. And he's like, no.
Sophie decides to push it even further by turning out all the lights and introducing Diana. Diana.
Obviously, this bitch is jealous. I don't understand why you don't understand that she don't want no part of Martin either. Like, this is mutual.
You've lost two husbands, sweetie, and you haven't connected the motherfucker. The only reason poor Rebecca's still alive is because Rebecca noped out of that home at some point.
She probably emancipated herself at 13.
Yeah, she did something. She left. She hightailed it out of there before that.
She was like, nope. She noped out of that one.
She noped. Smartly, she noped. And that goes
back. She's jealous type. Like, she doesn't want to be friends with Martin any more than Martin wants to be friends with her.
Right.
She wants you all to herself. So again, like I was saying, how selfish of her. Like, no, your son doesn't want to be a part of this. If you're choosing to be with Diana, let him go. Why call CPS and, like, let him go be with his sister. Right. And you have a friendship with Diana since that's what you want.
And also, I just want to harken back to the CPS instructor. Enjoying off-brand music does not make you not a good guardian.
Oh, yeah, the judgment now, thing. Yeah.
Now, okay. The weed being out is not fantastic, but she also was not expecting to have the child in her home. So I'll give you a pass on that. But in her care, he had gotten a good night's sleep. He had been
hairbrushed,
bathed, hairbrushed, and appropriately fed. Like, she didn't give him a bag of Doritos. She gave him a healthy sandwich and a full glass of milk.
Cut it into triangles for him. Cut it into triangles.
How he wanted. And when you arrived, the boy was up, the sister was clean, showered, ready, and the boy was finishing getting ready to attend his school.
She didn't even have her boyfriend over.
All the benchmarks
of
a good, stable household. Food, bathing.
He looked well-rested for once. Attendance
at school. A good night's sleep. More than he was getting at the mother's house.
Right.
For sure. So, by the way, CPS would never be wasting resources on that. Never. No. They'd be like, you can call the cops if you believe it's a real kidnapping.
That's an actual problem. Yeah.
And they're really going to call you crazy. And they're really going to, once they get to your sister's house, your daughter's house, come here and investigate why your daughter felt so strongly.
Right. Like, why am I under investigation? Like,
so you might want to shut it down if you want to keep precious Diana in your personage.
Yeah.
So now Martin runs, and I don't know what the proximity is, but he manages to get himself to his sister's apartment
by himself,
by movie magic. Bangs on the door, and the sister goes, "Okay, we need to have an intervention now. Let's go." Brett is from here on out to the end.
He's a real one. Love him.
Guy is chef's kiss. He comes in, he sits at that dinner table, which was bonkers AF. The whole situation is bonkers AF. And when
especially for someone who wouldn't even let him keep a sock in the drawer. Like,
Correct.
Because he's doing a lot for someone, because that's more than I'd have done for somebody who threw my sock back at me out the window.
Right. But to be like, they do say that they have been doing this consistently for 8 months. So
yeah.
While she wasn't in, Brett made it pretty clear he was all in, so to be fair, you could tell Brett was very in love,
and he understood her. Like, he understood that about her, I guess. Yeah,
I mean, he is trying to he's like, okay, yes, this all sounds a little crazy, let's everybody calm down, we're all just gonna discuss how it is to move forward. And then Rebecca realizes the mom is not going to give up the Diana at all. She goes into the kitchen and says to Martin, and Martin goes, no, we have to save her too. Like, we have to save mom. This is when things get, now we're up to 10. Rebecca and Brett decide to stay the night. She puts Martin to bed. Once again, he looks bathed. He looks well taken care of. I'm just going to say that. And, we know it wasn't the mom. Same. And previous to that, the three of them say, well, if we're staying here, we're having a game plan. They get themselves candles. They stack flashlights all over this goddamn house. I mean, they are
smart characters. Love it.
Because they are aware, smartly, that leaving all the lights on ain't going to work. I mean, they do put light bulbs back in the lights, et cetera, but they know this ain't no normal bitch we're playing with. She's yeah. got moves on top of moves on top of moves.
Yeah. And have they already flashed back to when Rebecca sees when she, back to when she was a little girl? I can't remember the order of the events in the movie because I've seen it so many times. So I.
Yes, I'm sorry. We skipped that. That was before she goes to her mother's house to investigate. Go ahead. You can take that.
Yeah. So at one point, sorry, I get the, because I've seen it so many times, I can't remember what happens. When, even though I watched it last night, I still jumbled them up. So we see a flashback of Rebecca as a little girl. She draws a picture of her, her dad, and her mom. And then suddenly Diana flashes and she looks and her picture is gone that she was drawing. And she finds it again. And this time the dad scribbled out and Diana has drawn herself between Rebecca and the mom. So we see that it's basically saying that Diana killed her dad, got rid of her dad.
Yes. Yes.
That was it. That was the scene. That was, which I thought was good exposition. It wasn't too very to the point. You understood what was going on.
Yes.
And you knew why Rebecca didn't just think Martin was crazy. Like, she wasn't just like, oh, he, you know, she's well, like, no, this is actually a thing.
The first time he said Diana, she knew he wasn't crazy, but she did not want that. She was like, no, I know. You don't want that hard. Like, it'll be okay. Like, I was scared of her, too. It's okay. I know she's scary. And in her head, she's like, no, let's fucking run. Let's fucking run. This shit's happening again. So now they all go to bed. And as they say it, the shith hits the fan.
The fan it.
Hard. Hard.
This is, oh, but they go to knock on the mom's, or who is it? Is it Martin or Rebecca that knocks on the mom's door?
Rebecca, she goes to say that to her mom that she's staying the night.
Yeah, and then you see the mom's shirt get tugged on, and then these black fingers shut the door. I'd have been like, you know what? You have fun with that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could have stayed in the house after that. I'd have been like, well, we're going to go. And
this is why we find out that the mom is always hiding in the closet. It's because she spends the days away with Diana in there since Diana can't come out because of the sunlight. Nobody would be worth me hanging out in a closet to hang out with them. I just got to say that.
What are we talking about? Like, are we playing cards?
In the dark.
Yeah. What are we talking? You don't have a boyfriend. There's nothing for you to talk about. What are you, what are our conversations like?
And I was like, I killed a few people a day. What did you do, Zoe? Oh, Sophie, I killed your husband last night. What did you do?
Well, yesterday I was in a closet all day, so I didn't do much.
Yeah. And now Diana's just going ham on the house. Martin and Rebecca get locked in the basement. And for a minute, you think Brett is an asshole. Brett hightails it out of there. And the reason he hightails it out of there is because all of the power has been killed.
Yeah.
And
he got rocked.
Yes, he got the shit kicked out of him. I mean,
how he made it
out of that house is impressive. And also, did he keep his keys in his pants? I did not see him grab keys. Was he even more prepared than we thought?
More power to him.
If he slept with those, if he laid down with those keys, he's a top-notch thinker, because I didn't see him grab for no keys.
No, but he found them somehow, some kind of way. He was like, you know what? I know exactly where my keys are. None of this fumbling around in the dark.
Nothing.
I got him.
He had them.
Don't even worry about it.
And we think he has left them all there to rot, which, honestly, this woman has acted like she doesn't care about you. So not, okay, I'm not against it.
I mean, you tried. You saved. You attempted. I wouldn't be totally mad at him.
Now, at the same time, Diana's trying to get to Rebecca and Martin. Sophie is safe. What we learn very quickly is Sophie will never be hurt by Diana. And Sophie is trying to get to her children. She is threatening Diana not to hurt them, that if she hurts them, she will never talk to Diana again, etc. And that don't stop Diana, though. Brett. And now this is when we finally actually see her, because in the black light that they find, Rebecca realizes that she can be seen with the black light. The black light is not enough light for her to disappear. And if they shine both on her at the same time, they're kind of incapacitating her. They're burning her time and time. Yeah. And so that's working for a little bit. Brett comes with cops.
He went and got the cavalry. Love this man.
Love him.
I don't know what he said to them. I don't know how he got them to get to the house. Probably just said there's a killer in the house.
Right.
But it was a smart move. I bet you your ass he did.
And he was like, no, guys, the power's been cut. You're gonna need flashlights. Like, be careful.
Bet your ass he didn't go in there yelling, there's a ghost in the house. There's a ghost in the house. Because as most people in horror movies do. And you're like, why would you say that? Nobody's gonna come.
Right. Yeah. Once again, he was definitely like, listen. And in his own defense, he had enough marks on him that the cops were like, well, something. He's like, I managed to get away from the murderer, but he's still in the house. Like,
let's go. Gold star to Brett for just not being a dumbass and getting the cops to come to the house.
A lot smarter than a lot of men in these movies are, so kudos, Brett. The cops come, but they die. Just saying. They were no match for the Diana, but it did allow Brett to get Martin out. So that was good. And then Rebecca is about to get out, and Martin's like, you have to get mom. Mm-hmm. Rebecca goes back in to get mom. Sophie and Diana are screaming at each other. Diana throws Rebecca over a railing. How Rebecca lives through that, I'll never know. That was just right over that railing. That was a whole drop down a floor.
Yeet. Just, yeah.
I mean, I would not have been wrong after that. Okay. And so.
Have the cops in? The cops came in.
Oh, they're dead.
Yes.
They're dead.
Yeah.
Martin's out. Martin's out. Brett is out. Martin wouldn't let Rebecca get out without Sophie. So Rebecca's back in. So
yeah, no, I didn't know if we had talked about the cops. I didn't know if you had mentioned that. I couldn't
hear they got killed. The cops. They got killed.
Okay.
Their plot's not big. They went in. They got killed. They didn't bring
they got killed. Just to know that there's other kills. There are kills because, for the most part, those are the only kills other than the dad in the beginning.
Correct. Yes. Three kills. Lifetime kills.
Yes.
She's up to five. So.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, sure, I'm right.
Right?
Her own dad. Rebecca's dad, Martin's dad, both cops. Yes, five.
Now the cops.
Five.
Okay.
So God bless, Mazel. Five kills. Not bad for a resume.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Jason numbers. It's not Michael numbers, but, you know.
Yeah. And only three on screen.
Yeah.
And only three on screen, so.
Yeah. But they do get rocked. And Sophie finally has a good mom moment. And she's like, this woman, I am this creature's only tether to this world. If I kill myself, my children will be safe. If I don't, we'll be living like this forever, because Rebecca screams out to her, to Sophie, she killed dad.
Yeah.
And Sophie tries to shoot her twice, and she like toyingly goes to Sophie, that's not gonna hurt me. And you see Sophie put the gun to her head, and she goes, but this will. And you see, like, Diana's like, no, don't. Boom. Done. Boom.
Yeah.
Rebecca gets out, and the three of them are together. They're going to
be. You instantly see Diana just.
Poof. Yeah. Diana just. Whew. The mom drops, Diana bursts, and the three of them are in the ambulance.
As always, how you sit in the back of an ambulance at the end of every action or horror movie.
I really just want to have Chris, our favorite EMT, on and just ask him, like, if at any crime scene, etc., that he's had a roll up on, if that's the standard protocol, just go sit in the ambulance for a bit. Because I'm going to say it's not.
Yeah. I think if there's an ambulance, the ambulance kind of needs to put you in and go.
Yeah.
They don't just go in and chill. Have a picnic in the back.
Right. But hey, I don't know. I don't know how these rules work. And you can tell these three are just going to be a happy little family from here on out.
Yeah.
I think they're going to make a mint on that house and buy. I could see this family in a cute little condo.
You know, a little townhouse.
Townhouse, a condo. And I think they're going to be fine. Because Brett drives a Volvo. And that sister had a one-bedroom apartment that was very...
In L.A.
In L.A. that was very well kept. So she's obviously employed, too. Like,
doing something, yeah. They don't mention her job at all, either.
They don't mention any... Nobody... No,
but she's making it work.
But she makes it work. Exactly. And good for her. I think the three of them are going to be very happy together. You see the lights flicker, and then that's it. He goes, you don't have to worry. She's gone forever, is what Brett says to her, very reassuredly. And they're all just kind of cozy. And we fade to black. Very well done.
You liked it?
First of all, excellent runtime on this. What was that? I think this was less than
easy.
This was an excellent one. At less than an hour and a half, an hour and 21 minutes. It flew. Yeah, I was.
And like, it opens. The opening is strong. It's not a lot. It's like you go right into what's going on. You're scared right from the beginning. You're like, oh crap, what are we working with here?
Right. I thought the cast was very strong. The cast says, however, that at some point, or maybe that was just, cast and crew. For some reason, that had to be a Google mistake then. At some point, it had Jennifer Lawrence listed in the cast. And I was like,
oh, no.
Yeah.
This is a very small cast, which, again, I'm impressed with, like we said, very little kills, and it was still pretty scary. Because even though they didn't actually die, you still knew that she had the potential to kill them. She was trying.
So, yeah, it's basically the three or the four people who play young and teen Rebecca and young Rebecca, young Diana, young Sophie, young teen Diana, teen Sophie. And then the cast we saw. Oh, God. Gabriel Bateman's so tall now. Oh, okay. Well, now I know. He's the one who played Child's Play, the Andy.
Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah.
I was like, the whole time, I was like, this kid looks mad familiar this entire movie. And then, embarrassing.
He's a good actor. I like him. The kid could have been annoying. The kid was smart. All the characters were smart for the most part.
That kid was okay, that's who he is. Okay. Brett was in Gotham.
Oh, I love that show. I need to finish that show.
What?
I said I need to finish that show. He
was just a member on the police force, but when you know somebody looks familiar.
You know that it's in their like subconscious.
Yeah.
Martin could have easily been an annoying character. You could easily write him as an annoying kid, which in most horror movie kids are usually annoying and I can't stand them. So Martin's up there for one of my favorite kids in a horror movie.
Yes. He is pragmatic. He
cares about his mom still, even though she's batshit insane.
He's trying to do the most. I mean, almost got them all killed for trying to do the most, but you're young. Rebecca was like, dude, I've seen the horror movie. This is where we nope out. I've seen the movie. This is where we go.
Kid. Yeah, I lived it, actually. I was there, so we should go.
We should go. I lived it. Yeah, I mean, I would easily give this an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, 8 or 9 for me. Okay. Yeah.
They kept it tight. Good casting. It had no exposition, which, you know, we keep joking that we don't know what anybody did for a job.
We don't care. Don't need to. I'm fine with that.
I think it's good that we did that they did show with little snippets like the Volvo, like the nice kept apartment, that yes, Martin will be left with these two people and Martin will be very fine with these two people.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm thinking, I don't know, Billy Burke. Paul owned that textile factory. Now with her dead, that probably all reverts to Martin in trust, which would be
to her. Taken care of. Yeah.
Because I'm going to go ahead and assume that if you are a man who knows that about the woman he fell in love with, that and you have assets, because clearly there were assets. We saw the house. That you will work hard to protect those, knowing that should anything happen to you, your children will need to be protected should anything happen.
Life
is going to be had by those three. And he's gonna get raised by his cool older sister and
cool her sister rock. And her, and it's not like she's so young that her life is, he's old enough to where he can kind, he's somewhat independent, so it's not like she's losing her
right
adulthood.
But also, she seemed very, I mean, the apartment was immaculately kept, even after the CPS agent left. You saw her immediately picking up his clothes from the floor and putting them in a hamper. Like, she is, we don't know her exact age, but she, regardless of
responsible. Well, and you know, she had to grow up quickly because, like we said, we feel like, I feel like she probably emancipated herself before she even turned 18 to get the hell out of there.
Yes, I agree.
She's likable. Other than the mom, everybody in this movie is pretty likable. Like you said, Brett goes up there with Jessica Chastain as far as ride or die significant others in a horror movie for me.
She does, yes.
He does, yes. He's, again, likable, smart, like we said. Because
I gotta say, when I saw him peel out of that driveway, I was so sad. I was like,
right?
Brett, I had such hope for you. And then I see him come back, and I'm like, Brett. Hope restored.
Yeah, right. Like, do what you got to do. Like, he's like, you know what? I'm not going to be much help in this situation. I'm going to go do what I can and go try to get some help. Which I respect. Because
that would be me.
Yeah, I'm like, that's what I would do. I'd be like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to help. So let me go try to do something else.
But speaking of people who would not be able to help, parents of the Xennial generation, I'm going to need you to toughen them up right quick. These people cannot do shit. I warned 17 of them this weekend that they should just be aware that should a zombie apocalypse befall us, that the Gen X and the older millennials,
done.
We're just pushing you out first wave. You die first.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Our kids made us fight zombies for our lunch money. So, I mean, sorry, it's your fault. It's not your fault, Daniels. Right. It's your parents' fault.
Yeah.
Mama's still washing your clothes at 17.
Parenting. Not letting kids outside to play and get in trouble and running around in the dirt and stuff.
No.
I mean, you realize my parents didn't see me for hours. Like
hours. Hours. But here's the thing, is we also grew up in a time where your neighbor would tell on you right quick. I don't know your immediate neighbor. I mean, Nosy Miss Sue, five blocks over, three houses down. She was like, hey. So, Mama Driver.
Yeah.
You know what Jen and Foster did today. Well, no, I do not. Tell me. Oh, I got a story. Then you walk through the door and you're getting your ass handed to you. Because your mama heard from not just that nosy neighbor, but four other nosy neighbors before you got home, what else you did. Right. Now it's like,
don't tell me what to do. Don't watch my child. Don't.
Right. The sense of community has befallen this great country.
And now it's mind your own business.
We are not the better for it.
No. Now it's mind your own business.
You should be all up in people's business. You see me eating some of those Oreos out of the package before I get to the checkout, it's fine. They ain't pricing those per weight. I
get
the whole package, and as long as that cashier scans it,
that barcode, good.
I am good. Because I had a woman do that to me once. TJ was fussing in the front stroller, so I bought, he liked raisins. Yeah. So I opened the package of raisins and gave him one of the little boxes, and she's like, looking at me, and I'm like, they're not priced per pound. We'll be fine.
It's not like an orange or something.
And she was like, ow. I'm like, maybe you didn't see the face. You should get a mirror. Tell your face what your face is saying. I don't know.
Yeah. I've done that. I was starving and we were in the Dollar Tree and I got a bag of chips and opened it and then ate it and then scanned it when I got to the checkout. Easy.
It's fine. So in that sense, mind your business. But you see the neighborhood. I mean, I think I've told the Daphne Abdella's story on this podcast, the girl who murdered.
Yeah.
My father told me not to hang out with her, and he also went up to her parents, knocked on the door, and was like, so just so you know, your daughter's ripping everybody's clean, fresh laundry that they've worked very hard off the lines and into the mud. Do something about this.
Yeah.
Clearly, they didn't do anything. She escalated to murder. Just saying.
ripping bedsheets leads to murders, so, you know.
No, but my father's right. Like, when you show that kind of disrespect for the community.
That's a bad start.
It's a bad start. It's not a good look for a 7-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. But.
Oh, next week we are doing.
Oh, I was going to say, just to finalize and reiterate. Oh, yeah, 8 out of 9 for this movie. Oh, really, yeah. Liked it. Enjoyed everything. Just wanted to wrap that up, our thoughts on that one.
Perfect.
And I'm glad you liked it, because I was nervous there. Because when you said, I have thoughts on it in the group, I was like, oh, no. I was like, did she like it or did she hate it?
I can't give that away. These
people I know. Need to
click like, subscribe, follow us on the Instagram,
I get it.
Facebook.
I was just saying, I was like, oh, no, now I don't know if she liked it or not. Because I was hoping you would, because this is one of the better ones, especially for a 2000s horror. Minimal kills. It still did a great, that's the other thing I wanted to say. It did a great job of being scary without actually having a lot of kills in it. You were still terrified.
I think it's especially scary because the mother figure is almost always, even when Pamela Voorhees is killing, she's killing out of protection for her children. Yeah. That mama movie.
I was going to say, yeah, mama.
That ghost attached to them out of protection of those two girls that she watched over while they were growing. So to have a movie flip it on its head where the mother is choosing this ghostly, otherworldly creature above her children until the very end is very unsettling. It's very well done. And the actor did a very good job.
Yeah, especially for as a 10-year-old child, it's like, wow, I got nobody now because my mom's left the farm, so I'm on my own. So what we need to do is get Diana and Mama together because they obviously have the same issues. So
they need to attach
to each other and then just go off in their own little world.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe them, Lily, and Sophie. There you go.
Yeah. Fantastic. Just whatever happened.
But yeah, so this was based on, like I said earlier, this was based on a short YouTube movie that I'll post on our YouTube list. Give it a watch. It's pretty good. It's pretty creepy. So I saw some people say that the short film was better than the movie, which for as far as like pace, because obviously it's a 2-minute movie, it's very creepy. They show more of the ghost thing. But I wouldn't compare them like that because this is a full-length feature. So
right.
Of course, they had to stretch it out longer and stuff. But I 8 out of 9 for me. Eight or 9 out of 10.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So next week, we are doing April Fool's Day, which is streaming on.
Let's see, because the last time Jen and I looked, nowhere. So fingers crossed. I feel like it should be now, right? The holiday's coming up.
Right. You'd think they'd be prepared.
Right. Right, they're probably going to charge us $10 for it. Gosh, this is old.
Yeah, it's on Vudu, and it's not free anywhere.
No, but... Boo! You still say we do
Whatever. Yeah. I'll spare the $3, it's fine.
Yeah, $3 on Amazon Prime, or YouTube or Vudu, Fandango. A little more.
We try to keep it free for you guys, but this is a holiday special, so, you know.
Yeah.
And it's an old movie, so you probably already seen it.
And also, because of the way Jen and I's luck going, 2 days after we
record,
it'll be free somewhere.
It'll be free.
Don't you worry.
And at the library and everywhere and on TV. For free.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm going to take it out of the library. I'm going to do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right. So April Fool's next week. Have a good week, y'all.
Bye.